The Lord is good. And Shabbat Shalom. And without him, we cannot be here. I know it's not by accident that the Lord has brought us to be in your presence and to be in the Holy Land. For many years, I've been taught in my family back home in West Africa, where we came from. Our history has been taught in the school, and they call us. I just found out from learning more, little here and there about our Hebrew history background, that the name associated to our family, our history, that means strangers. The Gain Kingdom, en français, le Royaume Gain, in Togo, and meaning we are from one of the lost tribes, which has been taught in the school system in my country for many years. It's still part of the curriculum of the school system of my country. Standing here in Israel is more to me like a return back home. But as a believer, I receive the Lord, and Christ is my king. And I told most of the kings in Africa, I say, yes, I'm a king, but I give my kingdom to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's who make who I am. And now I'm standing as the first African king returned back home. And I told Brother Chuck yesterday that my plan is to bring down the road many more kings to come and see where the Lord, our King, will coming back to Jerusalem, the seat of heaven government on the earth. Amen? Most of you want to find out about my faith, how I become a Christian. And our prayer last night, again, we've been very well received at the home and share the Shabbat with Pastor's family. Thank you again. It was wonderful because I celebrate Shabbat wherever I go. And I remember that. I said, when we came, I would like to have a Shabbat celebration with a family. So we've been well received last night. That was the one day in the school in Togo, West Africa. It's about 7 million people in my country. It's between Ghana and Benin in West Africa. Back in the state, I used to show, I was speaking to school, I said, this is West Africa, and Togo is right on the bicep. So when we are doing exercise, you're praying, Togo will be jumping right on there. That's the Atlantic Ocean, so Togo is right on your bicep. So I was called to be all my classes in the French system. They chose one school president who is comme le major. The major is you can punish the student, but you have to be able to pass all the tests, the exams, and you have to be good. But if the professor's not there, you'll be able to teach the class also. And you can punish the student to go and stay outside and water the. So they give us that authority if you are the president for the student. So one of my close friends, I used to play soccer, and we called football. And then the math professor was late. So he started reading the Bible. Right sitting behind me, started reading Ecclesiastes 12. And he said, young man, do everything you want to do in life. Rejoice. But remember one day, God will call you for judgment. And I turned around. This very close friend of mine, we play soccer together, we do everything. The anger just rises in my spirit. I said, close that book. We are not in the church. We are not in the, so this is a classroom school. And then he closed down, he listened to me, he obeyed. But when I went back home that afternoon, they call our siesta time, we still go on a European system. So we go home, you have to take a siesta and come back to school at 2 o'clock. When I went home, I asked my dad, I said, Dad, where's your Bible? I was so kind of shocked. After the dinner, we at the lunch table, I said, Dad, I want to borrow your Bible. He said, why? That verse started pounding in my heart. is so much strong in my spirit. I said, why? What do you say about the judgment? Because I remember when I sat in the palace, I was a little boy, when I said my grandfather, they are judging in the court. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how strong you are in the village, in the town, you are coming before the throne, the elders all sitting there. I saw people start shaking, and I know what the judgment means. And after you're judged, they say, we have the same Old Testament. Some judgment will cause you, the whole village, they can punish you. Nobody will say hello to you for 1 year. Nobody will talk to you. Or they will move you, remove you completely from the city, and you go and stay outside the village, alone. Some punishment, you go in the dungeon, they lock you up. So I remember I see all those things. And then what I read in the Word of God, it said, judgment day will come. That's how the Lord reached me. Because I know I'll be judging myself as a king to be, and they are training me. And then I turned back and said, if that day God judgment throne, how much that will be. That the way God reaches to my heart. He came to me in that level. And then I went to my knees. I said, Jesus, if you are there, I want you to come to my heart. And I wrote that verse, over 200 copies. And I stand at the gate at the church, at the school, when I went back to school. I give the tract. I create my own tract. I give to everybody. And I told them I wanted to read it. Because tomorrow when you come back to school, I'm going to ask you a question about it. Here, me who doesn't want the Bible to be read in the classroom, now I make the classroom to become a place where we can talk about the Lord. And they all start saying, there's something wrong with the prince. They couldn't tell me. They say, I've been sharing about the Lord. That's the beginning of my faith. How I become a Christian. Meanwhile, I'm preparing to go to the army, the Air Force. And because of coming from the royal family, there's a problem between the royal family, because the country became republic in 1960. And the political system is still unstable for us. And then they let me out of the army. My mother's so happy that maybe when I'm in the army, they will kill me. So it didn't work out. And I received to go to Saint-Cyr. It's a special school for the military in France. So I was about to go to Saint-Cyr, but the Lord have made the way differently. And I just love to read the Word. I want to continue learning about the Lord. And then instead, when they closed the door on me, I went to seminary instead to learn about the Word. And then later my grandfather said, the unstable in the country is too much. We need to ship him to some place where he can be safe. And then my dad, mom, they don't know what to do. And while I become a Christian, I started orphanage. At age of 17, 18, I built my first orphanage. I just want to help. I want to do something for the young generation. And they lost that blessing. And then 1986, 87, there's turmoil, a coup d'etat. And many of the family members were killed. And I walked, tripped over the bodies. And then let the Lord have protect me. And they have to be sent to America. So that's how I ended in America for all these years. But the Lord never left his hands, his covenant, as we said in Hebrew, how do you say it? Chesed, I think. Chesed is the covenant. God never left his covenant with us. And thank for the word he shared. That covenant continued with me back in the state. And the Lord been opening the doors. I've been speaking. Went to school. Joined the army. Again, as every Jewish blood, we have to be trained. Because he'll be moving all the time. And so army is a part of the blood. So we have to carry on. So I went back in the army, joined the Marines. And the Lord opened the doors, and my country had to shut down. That's all. And they always keep chasing me and find a way to stop what God has called on my life. And as the first time in America, on the American soil, my grandfather tried to find out, because I stopped communicating back to home for over 10 years. They don't know where I was. I just disappeared after they sent me. And finally they found out about me and everything. So the grandfather said, I'm signing this decree that the prince must return home. Then when I refuse, I said, God destiny on each one of life. They have to come to crown me in America. And my grandfather passed away, and my uncle was ambassador to Russia. And then he returned to become the prince regent to the palace. And so what happened? He has opened the books in the office. He saw this decree wrote by grandfather that the prince, we are going to America to perform and officially bestow the title on him, and also visit the friends of America. And then my uncle said, we have to look for him. And that's where they found me. They say, you come home. I said, no, I'm not coming home. I don't want to do anything with the kingdom anymore. I just want to serve the Lord. They say, you are the heir to the throne. You must return. I said, no, I'm not coming home. And then at the end, they say, okay, if you are not coming home, we are coming to you. And I know this is going to be a big situation. So, but anyway, all the chiefs, for the first time, they came. I would like this to be done on the Christian way. If I've been crammed back home, I know it's going to involve a lot of animism. They will involve a lot of stuff. And then I couldn't control it. All these things, I don't want to be involved. But when God hangs on you, he will make a way. He brought all these chiefs and some of the family members who are believers. And the prince regent, my uncle, was the former ambassador to Russia. He's the one who officiated with Dr. Haverson, late Dr. Haverson, from the U.S. Chaplain of the Senate. And the Lord have blessed, and the ceremony went very well. And I was crowned for the first time in America. And for a lot of ministers, pastors in the dome, it was great. And the second one, 2000, I've been called. There's a conference of kings and chiefs and queens of Africa. They meet every 2 years. I'm the youngest one among them. I know nothing about what they are doing. And they call me to this conference. And the ceremony went. They consult IFA, the royal family. Maybe some of you do know. I share a little bit in my book. They still consult the IFA to choose part of the royal family, who is going to be the future king. They're still practicing that. And then when they did it, the IFA chose me to be crowned above all the other kings in Africa. And I said, no, I just came for this conference. I'm going back to America. They said, no. 10 days, this ceremony is going to take place. And I asked the Lord, so Lord, what do you want me to do? And I remember Pat Robertson from CBN. He interviewed me on the CBN News one time when I was a young prince. And he said, when you are called, he says, some people will always be there to turn the clock backward on your life. But you have to make decision to carry on for the mission you've been calling for. Must you go forward? And then I remember that, and I said, okay. So about 300, over 300 chiefs and queens and imams all over Africa, they came for this ceremony in Benin, Republic of Benin. And then I was crowned for the second time. And they all know my faith. They know that I'm a believer. I never hide my faith in speaking about the Lord. And then the next thing happened. I said, Lord, what shall I give to all these chiefs and kings? And I ordered the Bibles in every language, every dialect. The Fulanese, the Hausa, the Ewe, the Mina, all the language all over Africa. And I finished all the Bible translation store, their storage. I bought all this from Ghana, Togo, Benin. Even I sent a special car to go and clean all the Bibles in every book's stores, bring it to the event. And after the ceremony, all the police escorts, they all around, they cover the badge. I want them to cover the whole stack of the Bibles. And then I said, I have nothing to give you, but the one thing I'm going to give you is the word of the living God. It will be the lamp at your feet. And I asked the police to open the badge, and they give the Bibles, all the word, to every chief, and they took back to their countries and their places. That's how the Lord, I know, he chose me in the midst of all to reflect his glory. And our conferences take place every 2 years. But now, I won't take too much of your time. I put in my book Psalm 91. And when I was praying last night, Lord, what do you want me to share with your church? And I've prepared a lot of the messages you've been giving me. I've been speaking in America, all over the world, about the Sermon on the Mountain. He wants me to teach about the kingdom, the principle of the kingdom. Jesus is not coming back as a shepherd. He's not coming back again as a pastor. He's not coming back as a servant. He's coming back as a king. He's coming back, and I saw the gates. Where he's coming from, where he's going to be landed. He's coming back as a warrior, as a king, as a modern chevalier. He's not going to be the same. Is it the church is ready to receive the king? That's what the Lord put in my heart, to prepare the protocol book. Because people be asking so many times, how to receive a king? How do you go and find out about the king? How to receive the authority? The church are not ready even to know when the King of Kings come back. How to be prepared to receive them. And the Lord had taught me, when I go to the villages in my country, I'll visit the country, how people will stay all day, playing the drums, singing, preparing for hours and hours, just because I'm coming for only 30 minutes, or sometimes for 20 minutes, to stop by to see the needs in that village. They will stop everything. It's almost like a Shabbat for them, because the king's coming. And then Jesus teaching me about, are we ready to prepare his return, to stop everything. There are all these things. I say, every time I go back to those villages and return back to the palace, I just ask God, please forgive me, because I want to know more about you. I want to know where you're calling us, where you're bringing us back to us, where you want the church to be ready for, what you want us to be for your return. As an earthly king, this is how much human, other people, my people, you give to me, are looking to me, how much we are looking to you as our Lord and Savior. In Psalm 91, and the Lord had revealed to me, because I witnessed this, and I put that in that book I put together, The Lion in the Light. Some of you have the copy. Psalm 91 became the real to me when I went back home last time, 2018. And the Lord has spoken, as you know, Psalm 91, I want that to live with you, that our living God is still the same yesterday and today and with us forever. Psalm 91 speak live, it become live because the word are so real. I went home, that's what happened now, and as we pray for peace for Jerusalem, we'll be sealed, we'll protect. And all the Jewish around the world, that our prayers to go to protect them. Because as my pastor said, we are in a very sensitive situation for what's happening, what just happened again a few days ago. I've been receiving a lot of calls from the state. Even when I get closer to some areas, they've been checking, as you know. They check everything and they'll say, wow, why are you getting closer there? Why are you getting here? Why are you getting to there? They've been following me everywhere. And now there's messages coming about what just happened yesterday, 3 days ago. A lot of messages coming to me, and be careful, and just be where you are, be aware. And thank you for the advice just gives to all the people where we are. If you have a program, a plan to go to do whatever we want to do, as the pastor said, I think the Holy Spirit speaking, we have to be careful, to be wise where to go. Just stay in the place because they are preparing something for retaliation. And we have to be ready and also to be wise. But when I walk into the situation back home, the bullet is flying from left and right. About 500,000 people, there's a riot on the street. They don't want this government now. And I'm traveling with my bodyguard in the car. And when they saw him, they want to burn him, because that morning they killed a lot of people in the capital. And the bullet has come in, and suddenly, I've been hearing the bullets, I'm hearing the noise on my car, like a rice. How they? We are hearing the thing like a grill. So the police, the guy, my bodyguard, have five bullets in his gun. He said, Your Majesty, I think I should kill them. I said, count the bullet. How many people you see around you? And I said, there's nothing we can do. Just stay calm. And they asked the protocol. I said, God is in control. My faith becomes so strong that the word have spoken that Psalm 91 have seen clearly. They will see at the daytime. Thousands will fall on your left. Hundreds on your right. You'll see with your eyes, but it will not touch you. And I told my protocol, the chief of protocol is in the car with me. I said, God is a faithful God. Our blood is protected by heaven, and nothing will happen to us. Meanwhile, my police, the officer, he starts shaking in the car. He's not a believer. And then actually they signed him. He's a Muslim. They signed a Muslim officer to protect me. And he's my escort until I return back to the state. And he doesn't know what to say. And he starts shaking. I said, give me the gun. So one of the right put in their hands the car, taking the gun. So I hold it. I said, give me the gun. So give me. I don't dress up like this when I'm home. I wear this thing for, you know, this my American suit, European suit. So there's a clothes we call Bubu. It's a very big. Some of you in Africa, you know how they dress up. So I have my thing. So I took the gun. I put the gun in my Bubu. So what happened? Suddenly, we are hearing the things falling down on the car. And they say, what is this? There's a smoke everywhere. This is a bullet. I don't know how the car, no glass has been broken. And the bullet was with me in the back of my car. I have this wallet. I always kept the bullet with me. Nothing happened to the car. And then when they found out this, I will share with you about this story. When I go to church, is the Lord. This is my scepter. You know, in the Bible, you heard about scepter. The king, every king have their scepter. And this is the scepter. This one says 1663. It's not that old, but it's old. And then when you become a king, you know, when the Mordecai, King have to send a message to Esther. And so the scepter, that's what we carry. This have a more power than me. I will give you a little briefing why we represent for Christ on the earth. So when they saw my scepter, when I raised the scepter up, all the people on the wall who are crying and screaming, they said, this day they call me American King because I've been crowned in America. So they all reflect me and said, the American King, the one who sent us the food, the supplies, he's the one who the prince who will be in America. So they start talking about it. So all the young other ones heard about it. So they say, oh, the American King, the one who helped us. So they start moving everything out of the way. The fire, the tires, they are burning. They start moving them away. And they escort my car all the way to, there's a chapter in the book, I said, do good. The good will find a way out for you. So when you keep doing good, they always a way. They remember that I put many of their children to school. They remember that I provide food for them. They remember that I build hospital clinics for them. So they start talking about it. They say, oh, there's the American King, the one who sent the support for us. And they open the gates, the door for me among the crowd. And then when we get to the other side, the military who is shooting at them, they also see the scepter. They say, this is the king. They are the king. They move everything out of the way. But when I get home, I saw the bullets next to my seat. And we see all the glasses, nothing being broken. Has to be God. I'm sharing this with you to know, when God have his hand on you, our Lord we are serving, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we walk with him, he will never leave us alone, as he said. That's his promise. And then when we become wishy-washy about the faith, that's when the thing's going to start happening. But when you know your king is with you, when you know he's there all the time, he will never, and you also will never feel afraid of anything, because the Lord is our shepherd. And this scepter, I forgot first. And the Lord just told me, because I leave, it's always behind my car, the seat. And something just told me, raise your scepter. And when they see this thing, They know what I mean. And that's everybody. Even though the bad guy started moving away. So we saw the king's scepter. And they see me a lot on the news. So they hear all this stuff. But when they see this thing, it make more. That the same way. The scepter, which we are, as my word I want to share, you are the scepter. When I send this to somebody's home, it's like your summit. Doesn't matter where you are doing. You follow the scepter. And not everybody who touch this. The person who's carried this in have a special glove to hold this. That's the royal scepter. We inside this thing, the power of the kingdom, the structure of the king, the law and the grace is in this. So when we send it to a house to be called, you follow the scepter always to the palace. That means you've been extended to come in. And people in their home start looking where the scepter is going. They start looking. The gates looking to say, who is called to come to the palace? There's a judgment day. And the elders are waiting. If you've been called for something, sometimes the judgment can be taking place under the tree. Like the Old Testament, we steal and do things like that. Or you come inside the courtroom. This have a, they'll have an umbrella over this. Imagine. They will carry an umbrella over the scepter. Going with. If there's a funeral or something, when the king cannot go, the scepter, I'll send the scepter. The scepter represents the whole structure. And that's why they all will come and bow to greet the scepter, just like I'm there myself, or the king is there himself. So this is what I mean. So wherever the scepter arrived and neutralized everything, it's like the king is there. That's why Jesus is a scepter sent from heaven. The authority of our Lord. He is a scepter. God in him, him in God. Just like an earthly king in their scepter. So Jesus went back, which means the big scepter, went back to the Father. But you and you and you, me, we are the scepter left on the earth to represent the heaven. When you are standing everywhere you go, God's presence in you as the scepter reflecting of this thing. It took a long time for me to understand this myself. Because all these things the Lord said, I call you out. The way I met your wonderful church is through one friend by name Mr. Rockmore, Brian Rockmore, who knows Pastor Chris, the CBN, and send a letter to them that the king's coming to Israel. That's how we met, and I received, I just got your message from Belgium when you wrote to. And so it's that the way God works, and because they heard that the king preached all the time. So I've been teaching a lot about this this symbol in the palace, which the church needs to know or to hear about. So I've been traveling speaking about this. So the scepter, the power of the scepter, which you and now we are, where you go, wherever you go, it's like the heaven is there with you. And while when you step your foot in any place, you are not, it's not you there. Because Christ in you is like the empowerment of heaven in you. Just like the empowerment of my whole kingdom lies in this small stick. Some people in America say, why he have this in his hand sometimes? Why do he have this stick in his hand? They'll ask questions, say, what is that wood in his hand all the time? And then they'll find out, they go and hear about the scepter. In the British Army, they call it baton. They want the general carrying this, and they don't carry the gun. But other people carry the gun. But these have more power than the gun, which the soldiers carry. So we can see what all this symbolizes, and the Lord give to my heart to let the church know, all the Christian, the faith, to know that we are the heaven on the earth. You are the command of the commander of chief. You are the scepter. You represent that power. And the Lord is coming back. Either yes or no, we believe or not, the Lord is coming back. They believe or not, the Lord is coming back. He spoke about his return. He will come back. It's not that long. He will be here. But the church has to be ready. So when we leave, we go to places. When you stand in the places, you know that he's with you. And nothing will touches you, he protects you and protect your family, because Psalm 91, I'm talking to you about it because I witnessed this. And when I'm going around sharing about this, that is an example of, if I'm standing here with you today, it's because his grace have proven himself to me, especially from this Psalm 91. If it's not, first of all, my glass will be broken. The car glass will be broken. These bullets may be reach our body, but I know one thing, God is my shield. And nothing will touch, because you walk with him. So that is the thing who's happening. I've been sharing back in Africa when I have a chance to go and share my faith with them. And they all know, every time they sing, that's the king who talk about Yeshua all the time. And I love to do it, because he have done something for me. And also asking me about all the things I've been doing with we have a foundation. It's still carry on. And I just adopted 400 children. And I think Brother Gerald. I've been calling him Richard. So I don't know why. Cœur de lion, heart of heart, of a lion. And so when we are talking about this, what is ahead is more than what we are preparing today. The new kingdom is going to be established, and is calling his people to be ready, the prince and the princesses, to start preparing how to walk as one and how to have the heart of a king or the prince and princesses, how we've been groomed, how we've been trained, who you are. My grandfather used to tell me, remember who you are. Everywhere you go, remember who you are. I think the Lord, the word of God is to us, to say, we must remember who we are. The heart of a king or a queen or the prince or the princesses is to be there to serve, to help, and listen, and open our heart for many we can, and bring the blessings to them. Because we are the salts on the earth, and we are the blessings to the earth. We are the judgment on the earth. We are to declare thing we say, we speak, become. That's what they told my grandfather used to tell me, as a king, be careful what you said. My mother would give advice and said, be careful when you say something, it becomes a decree. You decree something, so don't just speak because you need to speak. God give us 2 ears to listen twice and 1 mouth to talk less. There's a reason he give it 2. So we listen as a prince and the princesses and the kings as the queens, who is going to reign and rule with him. We must be able to share and present that to the people also, in our families, in our villages. And our plan, I was talking to Pastor, my being here is by the prophetic word and the confirmation. If it's not because of Sister Madame Gerbeau, can you stand up? If it's not because of her, I won't be here at the moment. And so she's from France, and we met 3 months ago, and I've been speaking. You can sit down. I've been speaking in one of the churches in Normandy. And then I went back, and they invited me to come and do the Shabbat and pray with them. And I went back, and that's what I said. The Lord just said, Your Majesty, you must go to Israel. You must go. I said, okay, I heard that before. I think, okay, I'll pray about it. And all these years, even Pat Robertson from CBN said, King, he needs to return back home. Go to Africa. That was maybe 15 or 20 years ago. So you must go back, go to Israel. I never had the passion, but I know I want to go one day. This is the time the Lord wanted. And he make it. I have to go for another mission, and the Lord just make it away. And she said, if things work out, I think you should go. I know people, we can make a contact, and that's why I'm here. But I know my plan was to bring many chiefs and kings to Israel. And the Lord said, you go there alone first. Quietly, no security, no alarm to the government. Just go quietly and be with the family I prepared for you. I'll make you people you're going to meet. And to build that network first in your heart. And the places I've seen, I know the Lord, like I said to some of, I don't feel like I want to go back home. I feel I'm at home. And this morning, my father sent me a letter, a note, and said, welcome to the native, la terre natale. Welcome to native land, land of birth or origin, something like that. Bienvenue à la terre natale. Welcome to the native land. And my father sent me that message this morning. Even always from Africa, they still remember this is where we come from. And just bless my heart. I feel like I don't want to go home. But I must go so I can bring the rest of the chiefs and the king. So I can see already this room that day. The Lord went to make a way. If you welcome us, I'll bring all these chiefs of these kings. Officially, then it won't be quiet. They will be official, but I'm looking to have some type of a conference and have these chiefs to go to places where Jesus walked, in the place preparing the return of the King of Kings. I know I'm not chosen to be the president or the King of Kings on the earth head, but it's a more... You are like a family to hear this, to pray about it. That's my desire, to bring these chiefs here, these kings here, to stand where our King of Kings is coming back. And they all read, they read about it, they know about it. I want to bring them, and that's always been in my heart. And Madame Gerbeau said, no, Majesty, you must go now alone. You bring the kings later. And so there will be nice way to prepare the way. So I feel at home in your midst, and I feel welcome here. And I just found out that Madame Mrs. Cup, the whole family, they are part of Africa. And it's not by accident for us, for me to be landed here. So now, we'll be ready. And she's been to Niger many times. I have a daughter sitting in Africa already. And now I think we have a mission because a lot of our lost tribe who to bring their messianic teachings and find another way to bridge this back. But my heart is to bring these kings and these chiefs to Israel. And I believe with your prayers, the Lord will provide. I will charter the plane for them and bring them here, and for them to witness, to experience what the Lord is doing here, for them also to prepare the return of our Messiah. Amen? And that I will take, if Pastor, if it's okay, if some people want to ask some questions, one or two questions, and then we can go from here. And I would love to do that because I prayed last night a lot. I said, no, the Lord said, you have the word already so much. It just prove again the testimony of what I've done for you, to share your experience, what I've been doing for you. I'll just give a brief testimony about my work with the Lord, but it's not over yet. There's a done more the Lord have done. I wonder if some of you have a chance to have my book, or you can get it on the Amazon. All of my books were on Amazon. And it's not like everybody, but most of people who want to do something involved to know about the mission field. A lot of missionaries came back in Africa before as a king. They have done a lot of damage. They have destroyed a lot of stuff. They came in with their culture, their way to brush their teeth, their teaching about the way to people to dress. They confuse people. They make a big flash, do nothing, condemn them. Jesus never condemned. But he taught people the examples. And those former missionaries, so I put that in my books. And to learn the new one who's coming, quote, as the missionaries, or they are coming to share, learn another way. Like the ministry of Shalom Israel, their mission of coming to serve. The servant, that's what we're looking for now in Africa. People who are coming to serve and show the love of Christ. And I share that in the book. They don't come, you know, some people say, I never went to see a dentist. And they said, the European came and said, you have to use toothpaste. That's part of the book, the Bible. That's how they teach us then. And then they found out, we just have a root. It's a tree. We cut the roots, we eat. And that roots have every medicine inside. That's how we used to clean our teeth. And they found out, said, Africa have something we don't know. I said, okay. So I share that in the book. When you come, you learn about the people. You know about them. And then you know what is missing, and you apply that with the word. And they stay. So anyway, the new generation looking forward, I know I have a role to play. And all the chiefs, I don't have to say anything. Soon for them to hear the kings, they hear my name. They open the whole village to receive people. So I'm at the gate where I can open a lot of doors in all these countries. And the Lord opened the door for those who want to serve to join to do things in the country. So, but part of my heart mainly is one day to bring these chiefs and these kings to be a part of a special event right here and their blessings to Israel. So, and we are looking forward for that day, and I know it will happen. And that small token which I promised to the Lord is to bring these kings before you to worship and serve you to prepare your coming. Amen. So if any one or two questions, I will answer that and return the pulpit to Pastor Cups.
What's the population of your country?
7 million. 1 million less than Israel, I think. Yes. The Muslim on the northern part, about 300 on the north, and now it's growing very rapidly also because of Gaddafi have financed a lot before all the things happened. He decided to become the head of the organization of the kings and queens of Africa. He wanted to take my position. I told him he can have it, and he had it, he couldn't take it. And then he's gone. Now all the chiefs returned, they are calling me, but I never say anything. But he financed, he put a lot of money into small mosques all over West Africa and tried to convert and push because of money to many chiefs. They took the money and they built a mosque. And the Royal Green Cross Foundation established that in America in 1994. We've been shipping medical supplies and all these things, clinics. I did also in the Muslim town all to the north. And then when he saw this been happening, and they change it and make the same thing, start making the world drinking water in those villages. And he put their sign on this and said, if you don't become a Muslim, you don't drink the water from that well. This how the things become so much in those villages. But for me, when we did it, we never said anything. Everybody can share it. But he gave a lot of money to the people and the chiefs. But now, many of these chiefs are now returning back. They are calling and said, they went from Ghana. Many of them just want to join. But because of money, they went. Now they are calling me back and say, where is our king? We want to have our conference back, all these things. So my heart is that the day I'm going to respond to them, the Lord will make a way for me to bring them to my hometown, Jerusalem, for them to see where I come from, and then when they go back, they know this was the dawn wave. And then, so now I went home last 2008. I saw they start wearing the black veil, burqa, hijab. Yeah, all the children. In some of the villages, we never seen this. They are wearing this and now they are all over. They start. So, but I know we can change that. And the time will come, will change. I believe because they are not, we are not Muslim on their part. And because of the money and the countries, they go to the poor areas to help. By helping, they buy them through their stomach. And that's what they're doing. But when things change again, I believe they will burn that thing off. So I believe it will happen. So, yeah. Anybody else? Amen.